I'll take you back to where you were and me before the fall of man. I'll restore your soul, I'll reconcile your heart, I'll give you back your true identity. Yes, I'll take you back to where you were in me before the fall of man. I'll restore your soul, I'll reconcile your heart, I'll give you back your true identity. I'm removing the veil from your eyes so that you can clearly see. You will be with me in paradise on this earth. You'll walk with me. Yes, I'll take you back to where you were in me before the fall of man. I'll restore your soul, I'll reconcile your heart, I'll give you back your true identity. I'm removing the veil from your eyes so that you can clearly see. You will be with me in paradise on this earth. You
greatest tragedy in the world is men and women walking around on the face of the earth lost, not knowing where they came from, not knowing who they are, being in so much despair and despondency, especially the people who have a heart for God. It's so sad that multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people have such a heart for God, yet they're so confused as to who they are, why they're here, and where they came from. Linda, you and Stacy haven't heard probably anything at all of what this song, this message in this song has brought to me. But the more I hear this song, the more I sing this song, the more God unveils my eyes to the reality of why I'm here. One of the things the Lord said to me through this song is that finally, my people are beginning to move from tabernacles. And you know, for years we've had the message of the three feasts, the message of the tabernacle, the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place. And if you're like me, for years, I spent some time in the outer court. I spent a lot of time in the holy place in Pentecost. Spent many, many years trying to get from Pentecost into the holy place, not realizing that how I was taught and how I was going about walking through this experience was totally opposite than what it should have been. Because when God begins to open your eyes and reveal to you your true identity, reveals to you who you really are and where you have come from, you realize that tabernacles, the most holy place, is not some place for you to try to attain to. It's the realm in which you really live. And when you begin to realize that you are a spiritual person on a human journey, and God begins to unveil your eyes to who you really are, you begin to walk and experience His love and His compassion, His forgiveness, His total redemption of the world. And you realize that you don't have to try to get into the holy place. Let me tell you something, folks. You are the holy place. You don't have to try to get into something. And I know that, oh my God, is the only one that can unveil our eyes to this truth. We don't have to attain to anything. We desperately need God to remove the veils that's been cast over our eyes. People have tried so many ways, so many methods, so many religions, trying to gain back favor with God, not knowing the depths of His love and His forgiveness. Here's what happens. When God unveils your eyes and you realize Jesus made that way for us into the holy place. And when you have your eyes unveiled and you realize that you are a spiritual being, you have always been a spiritual being. The only thing that happened to you when you entered into this physical realm is you came into a realm of total darkness and death, not knowing who you were or where you came from. That's what happened to all of us. And I used the example in Denver. I think I might have shared this one time before that, but I shared in Denver a few weeks ago the parable of the sower. Jesus said that a man, he went and he sowed good seed in his field, and while men slept, the enemy came and sowed the tares. And then we've always been taught that the wheat was the good folks, those who had went to an altar, those who had received Jesus. And the tare was the unbeliever, the sinner, the reprobate. But Jesus said that sower sowed that seed in the field. And we know the field represents the ground. We know that man was created from the dust of the ground. And the seed that was sown in the ground was the seed of God. And the seed that was sown, that was the tare, that the enemy sowed, was the carnal man, the carnal mentality, the carnal mind, and the carnal thinking. So you are a spiritual being on a human journey, but because of the fall, you awoke in this physical realm, not knowing where you came from, not knowing who you are or where you were going. And so, although the Lord sowed good seed in the field, in your earth, in your ground, while you slept in this death state, the enemy came and sowed the tare of the carnal mind, the human personality. And so, all your life, you were raised by your parents, your teachers, the religions of the world, all taught you that you were this entity that was something separate and apart from God. We were totally lost our identity in physical birth. Well, that's why God says, I will take you back to where you were before the world began. I'll restore your soul. And that's where the problem is, because the carnal mind, that's where it abides, is in the soulish realm, in our mind, emotion, and our will. And you know, the scriptures tell us that the natural man, the carnal mind, cannot receive the things of God. It's absolutely impossible. And that's why we have such a mess in the world today, is because carnally minded men, all of us, have been trying to figure this out for years. My God, what do we need to do to get God to show up? What do we need to do to bring some unity in the church? And so men with carnally minded men, good men, have devised hundreds and thousands of different kinds of religion and practices and ways and means and methods to be to be godly and to be filled with the Spirit and to be healed and to be prosperous and to be, you know, there's a thousand methods and teachings. And all it does is stir up our carnal mentality, and we're still in that realm where we're trying to take an Adamic carnal consciousness and make it God. But imagine if one morning, I remember what Madame Guyon said many, many years ago, after much tribulation, much suffering, spent a lot of time in prison, locked up by the church of her day for her faith. But after years, she said, I woke up one morning, and she said, my soul had become the New Jerusalem. She woke up one morning in God's likeness and image. And from that time, miraculous, miraculous things began to happen. Well, that's what has to happen to all of us. And that's why I've said for a couple years now that all across the world, in all religions, in all nationalities, in all cultures, the Spirit of the living God is beginning to stir in the hearts of men and women everywhere. And if you realize the true nature of every person is that they are a spiritual person on a human journey, and the majority of them have been lost to their true identity and why they came. Well, in the parable, it is said, let the two grow together. But at the end of the age, God's messengers, or his angels, an angel of the messengers, will come and separate out the wheat and the tares. And I'm telling you that's what's happening today. But before the wheat and the tares can be separated, before God can remove the tares, you have to realize and have some understanding and some revelation to be able to go through what you have to go through to have that tare removed. And that's part of the reason why there is so much discouragement today among God's people, is because we're going through some horrible fires of tribulation. But we're at the end of an age and the dawning of a new age. And I'll tell you, very shortly, God, when he's finished with the people on the earth today, we are going to shine with the glory and the manifestation of God such as never been seen before. Oh, I wish sometimes the people, everyone, could see what I see. I don't experience a lot of it yet. But I'll tell you, God is removing the veils from our eyes. Now, when you understand that you are a spiritual person, you are not a carnal human being. We are carnal in our experience. We are failures in our experience. All of us, more or less, are failures in one way or another in the carnal realm. But when you realize that's not really who you are, that you are a spiritual person. And in the very core, in the very center of your being, we know that the temple represents the human body, the body, the outer court, the soul, the holy place, and the spirit, the most holy place. So rather than have this concept of that we're out here in the bodily realm, or we're in the Pentecostal realm trying to enter into holy place, when you have your eyes unveiled to realize that you are a spiritual being, listen, your spirit abides in the presence of Almighty God. You begin to minister from that realm. Then you understand and begin to experience the renewing of the soul. I'll take you back to where you were before the world began. I'll restore your soul. You see, you have to realize, and you will realize if you haven't, today God is unveiling our eyes to see that we are a Melchizedek priesthood on this earth. The only priesthood that will ever restore creation back to God is a Melchizedek priest. And a Melchizedek priest has no beginning of days nor end of life. A Melchizedek priest stands in the very presence and in the heart throb of God, and he ministers from that realm. A Melchizedek priest realizes that he's not a carnal human being. He is a spiritual person. He has a message for the world. And that message is that God
more than you could ever realize is not holding you accountable
for your carnal condition. That's why he went to the cross. God became a man and went to the cross
to reveal, number one, the love of God for humanity, and number two, that death
has no power over a godly person.
You begin to minister as a Melchizedek priest. And the very first thing you do as a Melchizedek priest is you don't minister to the world. You minister to your soul. I will restore your soul. You stand in the very presence of God and you begin to minister in the holy place from your spirit. And you do that. And it's just like in typology, it's like the temple. In the holy place, there was the showbread, the lampstand, and the incense altar. So as a spiritual person, you begin to eat the showbread. Jesus said, "As I live by the Father, he that eats me shall live by me." The showbread represented Christ, Jesus, as the living bread. So from the realm of tabernacles where we dwell, we feast upon God. And we begin to minister to our soul. You know, David even did that in the Psalms. You remember he used to say things like, "Be still, my soul. Why are you disquieted within me?" If you go through the Psalms, you'll see that David, he learned how to minister to his soul. You see, nobody else is going to do this for you. People can minister to you, but God today is giving us a revelation and a vision so that you don't really need another man to teach you. You need God. Because once you have the revelation, the realization that you are a Melchizedek priest, you came here. Every one of you came here for a specific purpose. And generally that purpose is to restore creation back to God. But we've got lost in so many different kinds of religion and philosophies and man's reasonings, we have no idea really why we're here. But thank God that's changing. Another song that Linda wrote, she didn't sing this morning, but God's seed is in all humanity. Well, you may not see it, but it's there. Within us, there lies a great mystery. So I shared also in Denver, there are two great mysteries in the earth today, in this earth. There's the mystery of godliness, God taking on human flesh, and then there's the mystery of iniquity, what many people call the Antichrist, and many people think that Antichrist is a person who is going to be an incarnation of Satan who will one day rule the world. But I've got news. The Antichrist is that tear that was sown in your heel. The Antichrist is that human personality, that carnal mindedness that was sown. That is the Antichrist. You know, even the scriptures tell us that in the early days of the apostles, there are many antichrists in the world. You don't have to wait for a man called Antichrist to come and set up his kingdom. You just need to go look in the mirror. Because in the mirror, you will see one of two mysteries. When you look in the mirror, you will either see yourself, the image of yourself, as you think yourself to be, one who maybe is a good person. You go to church. You sing, you do all the right things, but I'm telling you folks, it's still Antichrist. You have to look in the mirror and see Christ. You have to be able to look in the mirror and know that God, once again, is in humanity to minister to the hurting and the suffering. God, once again, is in humanity to speak words of life and healing and blessing to all of creation. You know, think of it, when Jesus was here, what he accomplished. Yet every one of us today should be exactly as he was. Now, why aren't we? We all know that's what he thought. We all know, in fact, the scriptures tell us that as he is, speaking of Jesus, as he is, not as he was, but as he is, so are we in this world. Why haven't we experienced that? Well, it's because of the veil, of the tare that was sown in the field. Two seeds sown in the same field, the wheat and the tare. And one of them is going to overtake the other in your field. Two men growing on the earth today. The word talks about a corporate man. There is not a Christ on the earth in the sense of an individual. There is a corporate Christ on the earth. Christ is a corporate group of people who are built up as the body of Christ, as the one new man that Ephesians talks about, who will rise up and take dominion over the earth. And there's also a corporate Antichrist, which is nothing but the human mentality and the human carnality. Whether that be good, whether that be evil, whether that be religious or whether it not be religious, whether it goes to church or don't go to church. It's a mindset. It's a carnal mentality. It's what I think it's James calls double-mindedness. Whenever you live in a state of double-mindedness, you can be assured that to some degree, the tear is still operating in your life. What is it to be single-minded? Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body is full of light. You see, from the holiest place where we truly dwell, when you're able to enter into that secret place, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, you realize that you are dwelling in the most holy place. You don't have to try to attain it. You don't have to try to do anything to get there. You are that holy place. You are the presence of God on the earth. You see, you can see this in typology in the Old Testament because the priests carried the Ark of God on their shoulders. And we all know the Ark of God was a type of Christ because in the Ark was the Ten Commandments. The Ark was wood overlaid with gold, typifying humanity and divinity. The priests carried the Ark of God on their shoulders. Today, we carry the presence of God within us. But you see, these realities, even though they are true, cannot be experienced with a carnal mentality. And you know, most Christians today can't even, due to the way that they've been taught in the beginning, they can't even accept the fact that they and God are one. Because we know by our experience, by our human consciousness, that human experience, we know that there is no way that we can be as Jesus was on this earth. And that's such as it should be, because there is no carnal mentality. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But when you have your eyes unveiled to realize that you are a spiritual person, it's the most wonderful thing in all the earth to experience living in the holiest of holies. You see, that's where you have to be to experience Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. When I first met the Lord, I read Matthew 5, and I went to several people, and I said, look at what Jesus says here. Is this possible? And everybody told me it wasn't possible. It was a goal to attain to, and there's no way we could be that way until we died. But that's not how Jesus taught it. He said, if you want to be in my kingdom, in fact, if you are living in my kingdom, if you are walking in the reality of the kingdom of God, this is how you will react. You will love those who persecute you. You will do good to those who despitefully use you. The law says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, you love your enemies. Now you see, no matter how good a Christian you may be, if you're living out of your Adamic consciousness, not understanding and not having a true revelation of being that person that you really are, there is no way that you can react that way in a human consciousness. And you all know that. It is absolutely impossible. If someone is cruel to you, if someone is abusing you, how can you possibly sense a love flowing from you to them? Well, you can do that if you live in the holiness of all. Because you realize when you're living in that realm, you understand why people do that. You see, the only way you can forgive someone and the only way you could love someone that is abusing you is if you have an understanding that they don't have. And you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if they had the revelation of God, if they had the love of God, if they sensed the heart of God as you do, they wouldn't abuse you. So like Jesus on the cross, there is a compassion and a loveliness that rises up within you, and you say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. Folks, this is the only thing that's going to change the world and bring the kingdom in reality on this earth. We're not going to do it through legislation. We're not going to do it by getting good men into politics. We're not going to do it by infiltrating the arts and all of the worldly kingdoms. The kingdom of God is established in the hearts of men and women and nowhere else. And so the more we have the revelation that we are spiritual beings. A verse that puzzled me for a long time in the scriptures was this verse that says, He that is born of God cannot commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Well, that's a very confusing verse, at least it was for me, because I knew that I had experienced God. I knew that I was born of God, but I sinned all the time. But when you realize, you see, the Bible, the scriptures, were never written to carnally minded men. They were written to the seed of God on the earth, whose seed you are. And that life, that person that you really are, it is impossible for that life to sin. Because, you see, that's not a human life. That's not a carnal life. That is the very life and substance of God Himself. That life knows no sin. That life knows no bounds and no limitations. That life knows no sickness, no death, no disease. And that is the life that's coming forth within us in these days. That life is spilling out from the most holy place into the soul realm. Right in this very day, I'm experiencing the renewing and the refreshing of my soul. I'm experiencing God washing out the carnality and the natural thoughts and the human thinking. I'm experiencing a complete freedom to be who I really am and know that God loves me regardless of how I find myself and what condition I'm in today. And from the most holy place, from my spirit, God is beginning to flow to renew my soul. And once that soul is renewed, and the character and the image and the loveliness of God is fully blossomed within my soul, then it will flow into my body. And in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. We shall be caught up together with Him in the heavenly realms, where no more we will look at ourselves as mere human beings, but we will understand that we truly are Melchizedek priests on this earth. Oh, I know we can't understand this with a carnal mind, but listen, folks, we have no beginning of days, no end of life. Your life didn't begin when you woke up in a physical realm. It was simply a spiritual person on a human journey. You became that seed that fell into the ground and died to all you were, so that you might bring forth life in this realm to all of creation. One day you're going to remember that. We all took upon flesh and blood and died to who we were. Oh, I tell you, when you see that, you're a changed person. And I realize what the carnal mind does with that. The carnal mind says, oh, these people are trying to make themselves as gods, and these people are trying to say they're God. And, you know, the carnal mind does all kinds of things. But the truth is the truth. And when you realize the truth, you won't be a carnal person anymore. Will you be perfect? You are perfect already. But the perfection that abides within you in the most holy place is going to flow out. You're going to learn how to stand in the very presence of Almighty God and speak into existence that which you need for your day. We're going to speak the creative word of God. Brother Preston Eby just gave a message here recently. We were down in Duncan, Arizona, and he gave a message titled The Creative Word. Oh, I'll tell you. God, everything that God does, He does through speaking. And one day, all the redeemed of the earth are going to learn how to stand in the holy place, the most holy realm. We're going to be able to stand in the very presence of God and speak forth the creative word that will restore our souls and it will give us back our true identity. And then God is going to begin to remove the veil that's been cast over all nations. All of creation is going to begin to see the loveliness and the beauty of their Creator. And there will come that day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If there's one piece of advice I could give you to help you come into an understanding of what I'm sharing, is that stop the carnal thinking. Stop thinking about how is this going to happen to me, because it's an impossibility. It comes to you from another realm. You can't beg for it. You can't cry for it. You can't pray for it. You can't read the Bible for it. But the only thing that we can do is say, "Oh God, open my eyes." I can't tell you how many years, how many months I prayed as the Apostle Paul prayed. "Father, open my eyes that I might see." That the same power, the same Spirit, the same ability that abided in Jesus Christ now abides within me. Lord, open my eyes to the reality of Christ in me, the hope of glory. The carnal thinking is so prevailing in the church. And I'm sorry to say, even among the kingdom folks, those who know the story of reconciliation and the love of God for all of humanity, they can't even come and worship in the same church together. I was in a church last year, and some folks called me and they said, "Would you come to our church?" And I said, "Well, you know, you're just down the street. Why don't you come up here and join us?" And their comment was, "Well, we don't fellowship with those folks. If we need anything, we need to seek God for a revelation of His love for humanity." How could you say that you live in the love of God? How could you say that you have the love of God? How could you say that God has revealed to you that He is one day going to reconcile all of creation into Himself, and you can't worship with your neighbor? You see, we have a lot of head knowledge. We have some of the most intellectual men today that are teaching and preaching, and they're filling us with so much information. But we are so destitute and we lack the ability to be godly. And we think that information is transformation. Yet I believe it was the Apostle Paul who said, "Knowledge puffs up." I wish that Christians could have a divine eraser, just erase their minds from all that they've been taught, so that they could learn the simplicity of the gospel. Because it is so simple and it is so easy to live godly once you get the clutter of religion out of your mind. Just as effortlessly as you live as a human being, it's just as effortless to live as God on this earth. It's just simply a life. The human life has its life loss. Don't have to try to be human. Don't have to try to be carnal. It just is. And God has a higher life law. His is a law of life that transcends the law of sin and death. His life transcends the carnality and the carnal thinking and the religiosity of man. His life is simply a life of love very stern love at times. Every one of us will go through the purifying fires of God to have this carnal thinking and this mentality burn out of us. But in the end, we are the wheat that is gathered into the barn. And we will shine forth with the glory of God. This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Sigler Ministries, that's S like Sam, I-G-L-E-R, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434 for information concerning her music.
True identity. I'm